never too late to do other things with your life, and now is the best time to be open to new opportunities. Your kids are out of the house. Your husband may be slowing down in his career. Now it's time to ask yourself, what passions have you always had? It is the best time possible to fulfill dreams or create new ones. I have found that it has been helpful in my life, when trying to figure out what my dreams are, to ask myself what it was that I did when I was a child that totally engaged me. In what activities did I lose myself? Ask yourself the same question. What were the activities that engaged you so deeply that time passed without noticing? These activities are clues to remembering what it is that you love to do and think about. Maturity is remembering the revelation that all along we have been trying to get back to where we started. I used to play house. Not surprisingly, I'm now heavily involved with creating a homewares division on Home Shopping Network, HSN, including appliances, kitchenware, and bedding. In addition, I recently contracted with my publisher to write a book on lifestyle. My hugely successful summer-sized line of books came out of my love of cooking, not just a desire to lose weight. I've always loved being in the kitchen, and I became consumed with trying to find delicious dishes that would keep me and my family healthy. It's essential to continue redefining your life from passage to passage. If I hadn't done this, I might be one of those has-beens or features on one of those whatever-happened-to shows on television. I realize that not everyone has the opportunity to sell satin bedding, housewares, and jewelry on television, but look realistically at what it is that you can do within the arena of your interests. The redefining of my life seems to have no connection with the passage that preceded it, yet there is a thread of continuity. Each new endeavor has to do with growth and strength and a yearning to find out who I am and what makes me tick. I'm not ready to sit by the fire and stare. One day that'll be nice, but right now I have too much energy and excitement. In ways, I feel younger now than ever before, because I have nothing to prove to anyone, not even to myself. I am now driven by my interests. You can do this too. I go to many farmers' markets to buy fresh produce, and I see women of all ages setting up little boutique stands and selling wonderful items that they have made themselves. It's very empowering as a woman to make your own money. Even if it's money to spend just on yourself or the house, it puts you in control and allows you the freedom to make choices for yourself. We still live in a world where men are better paid and have better opportunities than women. But things are changing. By being proactive about your life and finances, not only are you making it easier for women of the next generation, but you are also teaching your children about the resiliency and creativity of women. So many of the women I talked with in this book referred to this incredible burst of energy, and I believe it's because for the first time they realize they are finally in control of their own lives and can pursue them in any way they'd like. When you're turned on by life, you're sexy. Tune into your feelings. Is there an inner calling you've put on hold for so long that you've forgotten about it? When my mother died, I came across some beautiful watercolor drawings that she had done when she attended the Lux School of Design in San Francisco. I can remember her speaking about Lux, but my father would always make fun of her and put her down. Because of his reaction, we children would join in what I now realize was ridicule. But when my sister and brother and I were cleaning out her house after her death, I cried when I saw those drawings. They were good, really good. In fact, I now have them beautifully framed and kept in one of her favorite guest rooms in my home. I go to that room often to look at them. They make me feel happy and sad simultaneously. Women of my mother's age put aside their dreams to raise their families. That was the way it used to be. Women of my mother's generation were not supposed to have it all, and I'm sure frustration was inherent in that role. Today, most women have found a way to have it all, but few have found balance. We're still learning how to juggle gracefully. My mother was angry and bitter for many years because of my father's violent alcoholism, but after seeing these drawings, I now believe that some of that frustration was also a result of not being able to express herself creatively. She was always so supportive of my endeavors I'm sure through me she was able to fulfill some of her dreams. But the lesson is clear. Life is short, and if you don't get out of it what you want, it's your loss. It's a waste of time to sit around talking about how unfair things are. No one's future turns out the way it was expected to. Life changes for everyone, and it's important to adjust and find another way. That's true creativity. As we get older, achievement is still important, but we are driven more by personal fulfillment than by what others think. That's why I find this age to be so exciting. I finally feel it's my time. I am now the captain of my ship. It's a waste of time to care what others think. If you do, you're owned by them. Instead, we have to ask what we can do each day to fulfill our dreams. It's exciting to change your life. But change brings risk, and it does get harder as we get older because we become set in our ways. It's frightening to start all over, but change brings a new burst of energy. At middle age, my sister and her husband lost their entire fortune. She had never worked, and after a period of grief and mourning, she rolled up her sleeves and got her real estate license. It wasn't easy. She began by knocking on doors and going from house to house to get listings. She encountered many of the people with whom she used to attend all the fancy parties. She held her head up high, and today she's one of the leading real estate salespeople in the country. She took the risk, put aside her fear, and changed her life. Whenever I'm having a bad day, I always call my sister because I know just hearing the excitement in her voice will cheer me up. These are the kinds of things we can do as women to grow and move forward. Women today are taking more risks because tomorrow appears hopeful. Women have made tremendous progress. The doors of opportunity have opened wider than ever before. We are being heard. We have rights, although we still have to fight for them. But that is part of the challenge and excitement. There are many women today who are opening their own businesses. Women are redefining the concept of old. Women in their 50s and 60s are looking hot. Women are achieving great things in areas formerly closed to them. Madeleine Albright became Secretary of State at the age of 59. Women are running studios and corporations. They're exercising. They're proactive about their health. They're having affairs with younger and younger men. Frankly, for me, I enjoy the fact that my husband is 10 years older. This way, I always get to be the young one. But my girlfriends with young boyfriends seem pretty darn happy, and I have to say there is a glow to their skin. We women of this generation are exceptional beings. We have rewritten the rules. We are the first generation of women to use therapy as a tool for being happier people. We didn't want to have relationships like those of our parents. We didn't want to have a divide between us and our children. We wanted to talk to them. We wanted them to be comfortable coming to us with any problem. That has made for true intimacy with our children and our spouses. This is a remarkable breakthrough, and we are now experiencing the payoff. Our children are our best friends. There is no one I would rather be with than my son, Bruce, and his family. Bruce is my confidant, and I am his. There is no subject too uncomfortable. We are able to talk about anything. Because of this, I never feel excluded from his life, nor he from mine. Therapy allowed me to be this way. I certainly didn't learn this in my parents' home. My mother had one personality when she was with us, and another when my father was around. If he walked into the room, we stopped talking. When my mother was with her friends, she was relaxed and comfortable. When my father was with her, she sat stiff and uncomfortable. Therapy allows you to understand the buried anxieties and rages. You can't grow and be able to change if you don't recognize what has made you angry for so long. If you are to have a long and happy life, you have to get to the bottom of all buried pain so you can understand it, forgive, and move forward. Once it is understood, you can let it go and find forgiveness not only for those who caused you pain, but also for the part you played in the drama of your life. If you didn't have a perfect relationship with either or both of your parents, do the work and get over it. You are an adult now, and you don't need your mommy or daddy to have a happy life. If you didn't get what you wanted or thought you wanted, Do the work to discover what that was, usually it's love, and then find that love in your own life. Get rid of old jealousies and resentments. If you don't, these emotions will pull you down. You will be the loser. Stay clear of people who are jealous of you. They too will pull you down. Envy is something you aspire to. Jealousy is not wanting others to have what they have. Envy is a positive emotion, as in, I want to be like you. Jealousy is a negative emotion, as in, I don't want you to have what you have. Nothing good comes from jealousy. It's destructive, mean-spirited, and petty. Run, don't walk away from it. I know a middle-aged man who has everything going for him. Great looks, great physique, intelligence, creativity, humor, and energy. Except that he's jealous of everyone. He's constantly looking over his shoulder at who is ahead of him, and he wonders why he can't get his life on track. His jealousy is holding him back. It's impossible for him to be all that he can be because so much of his time is wasted on not wanting others to have what they have. You have worked too hard your whole life to get mired now in petty emotions like jealousy. These negative emotions will hold you back and prevent you from realizing your dreams. You have to be a self-starter. You have to go figure out what you want from this next phase of your life and then decide how to get it. An optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty, and a pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. Be an optimist. Look at everything that has happened to you, good and bad, as an opportunity to grow and learn, spiritually and emotionally. Turn your lemons into lemonade. Make your greatest problems your greatest opportunity. Take charge of your life and make it exactly what you want it to be. We all have made mistakes, and we will continue to do so. But at this age, we realize it's the problems and mistakes that are our greatest opportunities, if we choose to look at them that way. We learn from our past, but the challenge is to not repeat patterns of behavior that are not serving us well. Perks of being over 40. Your husband jokes that instead of buying you a wood stove, he's using you to heat the family room this winter. Rather than just saying you're not amused, you shoot him. 18. Staying cool. The surest way to guess somebody's age is by their cool factor. Staying cool is being comfortable in your skin. It's about liking your age. I remember listening to an interview with Steve Allen one day, and the interviewer said, "You were always one of the really cool guys." And Steve Allen replied, "If you're cool, you're always cool. Just because I'm an old guy now doesn't mean I'm not cool anymore." He was right. Just because you get older doesn't mean you suddenly change your take on things. For instance, how old is Jack Nicholson? You never really think about his age, do you? It's because Jack is just the cool guy, so it doesn't matter if he's 50, 80, or 100. He's still this sexy, impish, mischievous guy. He seems as if he'd be fun to hang around with, and all because he's cool. Frank Sinatra was cool. It was never about his age. We didn't care if he was getting older. In fact, as he got older, he seemed to get sexier. It's because he always stayed cool. He was the type of guy you could still fantasize about sleeping with even when he was 80 years old. What about Sting or Rod Stewart? They're cool guys because they've created their own style and don't care what people think. They have the right to express themselves in any way they want. You never think about their age. They're just these two sexy guys. Cool is ageless. It's your take on things. It's not about being judgmental. It's about acceptance. If your girlfriend has decided to dye her hair pink and pierce her nose or other body parts, you are okay with it because that's the way she has decided to decorate herself. Don't we earn the right to be, dress, pierce, or adorn ourselves in any way we want? It really doesn't matter how it ends up looking. It's all about expressing ourselves in any way we want because we have earned the right to be whoever we choose to be. It's our life. We are finally in control of ourselves at this age. We've spent a lifetime trying to do what's right and appropriate, and now we can stop being governed by what the rest of the community is doing or what the magazines tell us we should be doing or how we should be dressing. The women who write those articles are all in their 20s anyway. I think by now we know what's best for us without a 20-year-old advising us. Yet being cool is about being open to what a 20-year-old has to say, or anyone of any age for that matter. Some 20-year-olds are very wise old souls, and it might just be that they are telling us exactly what we need to hear at that moment. Always be open to the messages, because you never know where they might be coming from. Some of my greatest messages have come from the mouths of my grandchildren. When I was a child, I always heard that at a certain age, 40 was the cutoff, a woman should cut her hair short. All my life, I have had long hair. I find it the most versatile. I can braid it, put it on top of my head, wear a ponytail, or style it straight or curly. With long hair, I have options. Today, it's not about what's appropriate. It's about what looks best without looking desperate. It's a matter of taste. You have to look in the mirror and decide what looks best. This is where your good taste and wisdom come in. If you're more comfortable with your hair long, then by all means, that's how you should wear it. It's up to you to know if it looks great or stupid. Wearing clothes that make you look desperate makes you look stupid. You have to know who you are. What's right for Cher, one of the really cool chicks, may or may not be right for you. Personally, I wouldn't look good in any of her get-ups. A bare midriff is not my style. But you have to admit, Cher looks great all the time, always has, probably always will. She's always been cool. It's not forced, it's her personal style and expression. That's the goal. Wear what you feel comfortable wearing and be who you want to be. Now is the time to step out of the box. Buy yourself a black leather skirt if that's something you'd feel comfortable in. Recently, I saw Maria Shriver wearing a long black leather skirt, black stiletto boots, a black turtleneck sweater, and a strand of pearls. She looked great. It was her personal style. It was hip, edgy, not desperate. Yet she still maintained a ladylike demeanor, because that is who she is. She's someone who's comfortable in her own skin. She's a great mother, has a fabulous marriage, and a career of her own invention. She seems to work when it's convenient for her. With 4 children and as wife of the governor, she obviously has taken the time to invent her life so she can have it all. We look at someone like Maria Shriver and think that she was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. Granted, she was born into privilege, but Maria had a lot of disadvantages to overcome. Because she was a Kennedy, the pressure to succeed was enormous. No other member of her family had ever ventured into television. I'm sure there was disapproval within the family, but Maria started at the bottom and worked her way up. I remember in the early 80s, I used to run into her in the back rooms of television studios doing intern work while I was waiting to go on the Charlie Rose show. She had determination and a desire to have it all. We've seen her hosting the Today Show while pregnant. Then we'll spot her at a premiere with her husband, Arnold Schwarzenegger, looking very fancy. And then we'll see a candid shot of her walking around Santa Monica without makeup, looking very unglamorous, pushing a baby carriage. She's cool because she doesn't care what anyone thinks of her. She's doing it her way, dressing her way, having her marriage her way, establishing a career her way. A very important aspect of aging is taking a good look at yourself and assessing your look. The surest way to date yourself is by wearing the same makeup you wore in your 20s or 30s. Most of us do that. Imagine how I would look if I were still wearing the makeup that served me so well when I was playing Chrissy Snow on Three's Company. I wore thick black eyeliner all the way around the eye, lots of white highlight under the eye, cotton candy pink blush and big pink rounds on my cheeks, and big pink glossy lips. Top that with pure white blonde hair pulled into 2 ponytails on either side of my head, and you have the look of the 1980s. It was really cute then, but today, at 56, I would look quite desperate. Kind of like, whatever happened to baby Jane? I remember the day I looked in the mirror and realized that that look of the 80s was no longer serving me well. It had outlived its purpose. Instead of looking cute and perky, I looked old and overly made up. Suddenly, what once worked now looked unattractive. I scrubbed my face and made the decision to change the color of my hair. White blonde hair is great when you're in your 20s, but in my early 40s, it drained me of my color and forced me to wear a lot of makeup to fill in the color. I changed my hair to a more natural blonde with gold highlights and my makeup to softer, more natural colors. It was an amazing transformation for me. Suddenly, people were telling me I looked younger, softer, and prettier. We need to change and update our looks from passage to passage. It says something about ourselves. It says that we're not stuck in a time warp, that we are not holding on to what was or to the good old days. Change looks fresh and shows forward motion. If you think you've lost all that was remarkable and valuable about your youth, then you really have to think about why that time in your life was better for you than now. But here's the point. Youth is gone. Today is what is important. So examine why today is not bringing you contentment and satisfaction. Perks of being over 40. You enjoy hearing about other people's operations. 19. Maureen, a 63-year-old experience. Maureen is my sister, 63 years old, and a real estate super salesperson. Like me, she is a breast cancer survivor and is on natural bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. As you will read in this chapter, she is enjoying her life to the fullest. She does not want to turn back the clock. Her energy, vitality, and libido are operating at optimum. In speaking to her, I kept trying to find any negatives associated with taking natural bioidentical hormones, but I wasn't able to pull any out of her. She even went so far as to say that she thinks the quality of her life is so spectacular that even if bioidentical hormones were to shorten her life, it would be worth it. That's quite an endorsement. You've heard from me and my 50-year-old-ish point of view relative to replacing lost hormones with real hormones. But listen to my sister talk about hormones from her perspective as a 63-year-old. Maureen is honest to a fault and has graciously shared her point of view. Before I took bioidentical hormones, I felt dead. The lights were out. My spirit felt dead. I remember wishing a lot for anything. A windfall, winning the lottery, getting back what I had lost. It was a terrible time in my life. I think menopause is a very difficult time for women because a lot of things are going on. For instance, you've had your animals for a long time, and they start dying around this age. It's sad and hard. Both my dogs died. My birds died. I lost both of my houses because of the real estate crash of the 1980s, so we lost all of our money. For the first time in my life, I realized I had to get a job. But how do you get into the workforce at this age, after never having been in the workforce to begin with? I was scared and intimidated. And on top of all this, I had no hormones. I had no libido, nothing. I slept in the fetal position for 3 years and I wouldn't let my husband touch me. I felt like the frozen chicken in the freezer, packed real tight with clamps on my legs holding them together. Believe me, I made sure that no one reaching in there to get that package was going to find anything. I was 52 then and I kept thinking, this can't be happening to me. I was never a complainer. I never complained about my period or cramps. I would be annoyed at the women who complained, and I would think, oh, grow up or get over it, as I listened to them. Then I got breast cancer, so I took myself off the prescribed drug hormones I was taking. I went without them for 3 years. Evidently, one night I was acting so badly that the next day a girlfriend took me out to lunch and put a patch, drug hormones, on me. I realized my mood had been awful and I did feel some relief from the patch. But then I started gaining weight. I just blew up. I gained so much weight when I started on the patch that I went off them also. My sexless, angry, depressed life went on like this until I felt that I'd rather not be alive anymore. My days were not bringing me any joy, and I am a happy person by nature. People have always told me how great it is to be around me because I'm so up. But not anymore. I didn't even recognize myself. Everything made me angry, and I was ready to blame my husband at every turn. No wonder men leave their wives at this age. I went to see Dr. Schwartzbein because my sister, Suzanne, seemed to be so pleased with her progress. After all, she had breast cancer also, and was enjoying her life on a hormonal basis, so I decided to give it a try. As soon as I was on real, bioidentical hormones, I was a different girl. Suddenly, I couldn't get enough sex. I was in my prime again. I was actually wearing out my husband. Well, maybe not. I thought, wow, this is fantastic. Yippee, an e-ticket. But I soon realized that there's more to it than getting your sex drive back, although I must say that this alone makes all the rest you have to go through more tolerable. It's not been easy to find balance. On real hormones, I also gained weight. This was depressing. I went up to 150 pounds. My normal weight is 127. My metabolism was so out of whack from the drug hormones and the carbohydrates I'd been eating. At the time, we were struggling financially, so we went out to dinner a lot because of our work overload, and I had started eating bread. It was inexpensive, and it was always sitting on the table while we waited for our dinner, and it would fill me up so we didn't have to spend so much money. All these carbohydrates threw my hormone levels further out of whack, and now I was insulin resistant, and I didn't even know what that was. All I knew was that I had these two hams on either side of my hips, right at the top below your waist where it makes everything you wear look terrible, and for the first time in my life I had a big ass. The weight made me feel terrible about myself, but the hormones were giving me a renewed zest about life. I had a big old butt, but my husband and I were having nightly romps of great sex. My doctor told me that hormonal balance takes patience. I had damaged my metabolism from years of incorrect eating, plus the damage done earlier in my life when I was drinking alcohol. I've been sober for 25 years. Also, all that time without taking any kind of hormone replacement had left me at zero. I had no hormones. No wonder I felt dead. No wonder I had no will to live. No wonder I was taking it all out on my dear husband. Dr. Schwartzbein said that it would take a few years for everything to find its balance and that eventually the weight would come off, but I had to eat properly to heal my damaged metabolism. Initially, she said, this food would put on weight while it was doing its good work of rebuilding. We also found out that I had plaque in my arteries and I had seriously high blood pressure. All these things you hear about old people were happening to me, but in spite of all this information, the real hormones were giving me a renewed zest. I was starting a new career. I was recovering from the shock of having had breast cancer. I was gaining weight, but I was still happier than I had been in a long time, and it had to be because of the hormones. I could feel myself getting stronger, and because of this, I made a commitment to myself to become my doctor's best patient. I decided to approach this in the same way I had tackled my alcoholism. I was going to do everything she said and really give this a try. I realized I couldn't do this thing half-assed. The struggle was softened, however, because of the real hormone replacement. I remembered a story that my mother used to read to me as a child about the little train that could, so I used that as a metaphor. I think I can, I think I can. I started lifting weights, all the while saying to myself, I can do this. I began meditating and started reading a lot of spiritual books that allowed me to see this not as a time of despair, but as an opportunity to grow and change. I knew I needed to change my life, and these books were giving me the tools to do so. At times, I still wanted to hide in the freezer like that chicken, and I didn't want to face my children, but I hung in and continued to do the work physically and emotionally. It's been hard. That's for sure, but it's becoming worth it. There is no magic pill. Real hormones definitely are the answer, but you've got to be willing to do the work that accompanies this balance. You can't think, now that you're replacing your lost hormones with real hormones, that this is the beginning and the end. If you continue to eat sugar, I ate mine in the form of carbohydrates, you will keep getting fat. The real hormones work by improving your overall well-being. But if you're eating badly, all that sugar is going to interfere with your body's ability to keep your hormones balanced. Taking real hormones has made me healthier in every way. I realize that if I want a sex life this satisfying, I have to obey the rules. I have to be rigorously honest with myself and my doctors. You can't lie to your doctors. It defeats the purpose. You have to tell them if you're sneaking sugar. Otherwise, they won't be able to help you properly. They aren't going to sit there and tell you that you're a liar. It's not up to them. If you want to get better, you have to be accountable to yourself. Just as I approached alcoholism, I now do this one day at a time. If that gets too difficult, I do it 1 hour at a time, or one moment at a time. I want this to work, but I am driving that little train. Today, I'm feeling great. My weight is 129. I still have a few more pounds to get rid of. It's taken me 4 years. That's a lot of patience. But I am eating fantastic meals because of my high blood pressure and the fact that I'm still insulin resistant to a small degree. I'm also watching my fat intake until my levels are acceptable. I visualize that all this great food I'm eating is slowly cleaning out my arteries. When my insulin levels are normal and my blood pressure is normal, and I drive away the plaque through visualization and a healthy lifestyle and diet, I get to incorporate real fats again with more frequency. I do love butter and cream. I believe I'll stay on real hormones forever. If I die because of it, which I don't think will happen, it will have been worth it. I can't describe the well-being you get from replacing lost hormones with the real ones. Frankly, life wasn't worth living the other way. I have taken those kinds of chances to afford me a better quality of life. I took birth control pills for a long time, almost 2 decades. I'm very fertile, and after having 4 children, 3 of them in 3 successive years, I found that birth control pills gave me a better quality of life at that time. I didn't have to say no to my husband, and it was the one time of the day just for us. With 4 kids, there's not much time in the day for meaningful conversation. I feel the same way about hormone replacement. I'm willing to take the risk. I'm really living these days. Before I started on real hormones, I felt like the walking dead. I am accountable for my health. I realized the power we have within when I went through breast cancer. I worked with a healer who truly taught me that we were body, mind, and spirit. This whole passage of life is completely up to me. I absolutely have to be honest with my doctors and the people who are helping me through this period and keep them informed so they can do their best work. It's stupid to BS your doctors. I have made my choices. It's not going to be anyone's fault, regardless of the outcome. I am not mad at the medical profession. Doctors today are so busy that it's almost impossible for them to keep up with recent studies. Therefore, it is up to me. I am accountable for my health, my spirit, my body. I am accountable for myself in the financial world. Because of that, I have a coach I work with once a week to improve my business and my relationships with my working team, who happen to be my family. I am grateful for the new integrated medicine. It's truly interactive, and there's a new respect between doctor and patient in terms of getting to the bottom of what ails you. No longer is medicine a band-aid to slap on till the symptoms clear up. Now we're able to go deeper, holistic, if you will, to find out not only what it is, but also what caused it. When my hormones are balanced, I am turned on about practically everything. I feel great about everything. I love my age. It's a good age. When I meet my contemporaries, I notice that many of them are really getting old. I know the difference between them and me is hormones. I think the big difference is that I have sex regularly. I talk about it. I love it. I never hear any of my girlfriends talking about it. In fact, in your 60s, there's a lot of laughter about the fact that you're not having sex anymore. I think, for me, the big difference is sex. Not only having sex, but also wanting it. It's a great time of life. There are no interruptions. The kids are gone. There is no right or wrong. Just pleasure. To other women my age who haven't got a handle on things, I would like to say, take yourself on. Be accountable. Find out who you are in every way, and find out all that you can be. Be sure to take care of yourself. Go to the doctor. Try a new one. Switch around. When you hear about a doctor who has a new approach, get an appointment and find out what he or she is up to. Get x-rays, take the latest tests, take hold of your life. When you start menopause, everything is going to change. This passage requires absolute rigorous honesty and lots of work. But take it from me. I feel enthusiastic about absolutely everything. I owe my life to these hormones. Without them, I felt and behaved badly. Am I ever glad to leave that part of me behind? Old is when a sexy babe catches your man's fancy and his pacemaker opens the garage door. 20. Relationships. Hormones are a wonderful component of who we are. They give us life and balance. They make our systems work properly. They make our skin glow, our hair shiny and healthy, our nails strong, and they radiate on the outside the balance within. But hormones can also be responsible for conflict that we have with our partners. Sometimes what seems real, like a relationship problem, might be caused by a chemical imbalance. Think PMS. Remember that time of the month when your chemicals were wonky and you found yourself wondering whatever attracted you to your husband in the first place? Then as soon as you were back in balance, the angry and negative thoughts from a few days ago seemed laughable? Menopause can make you feel like that all the time, so it seems real that your husband is a jerk. I wonder how many marriages break up because of menopause. I wonder how many families could have remained intact if there had been a better understanding of the chemical imbalance that accompanies menopause. It's so important to understand this passage. Everything can be brought into balance through a blood test and a qualified endocrinologist or a doctor in the know. So don't make any rash decisions or accusations until you have found balance. But if after achieving this balance you're still not happy with your mate and the life you're living, then you can make real decisions for yourself that are not the result of hormonal imbalance. Take a good hard look at your life. Is your partner boring you? Remember, you have another whole half of your life to spend with this person. Is it worth it? Have the two of you forgotten to notice each other over the years? Is life without your kids empty and void? Do you hate your work? Is sex a distant memory? Do you pine over the body you once had? Have you given up on joy? If your answer is yes to any one of these, it's time to do some emotional work. Here's the thing. You can change every one of these components, but you're going to have to commit to some hard work. If that puts you off, then you have to ask yourself why you're not willing to put out the effort to change yourself and your life. I agree. It's no easy task to revive a marriage that has lost its glow. It's even harder to admit that you no longer have any interest in trying to put the glow back into your marriage. If that is so, it requires a huge change on your part. Divorce could change your financial situation. You might have to go to work for the first time in your life. It might make you feel frightened, and with good reason. But look at the alternative. If you're going to live for another 50 years, and you are, barring some kind of accident, is it worth it to give the second half to a situation that is hopeless or worse, loveless? Don't live a loveless life. To be trapped in a situation that has no love is to feel dead inside. You will never find your inner glow living a loveless life. Perhaps you can learn to enjoy your partner as a friend or companion, someone you like to take drives with or to share a home with. But you have to acknowledge this new way of thinking to yourself so you can turn the page and realize that what you once had together no longer exists. It's dead. Your relationship can be reshaped to be something other than what it once was. This is workable because this person is obviously someone who has qualities that are important to you. How can this relationship be salvaged? By understanding that now it will be different terms that the two of you find mutually agreeable. In other words, the two of you need to agree to new terms of living together. If your husband or wife still interests you as a person with whom sharing a house and occasional social events is enough, then that can bring you happiness. It is important to address the changes in your relationship to avoid becoming bitter and angry because things are no longer the way they were. In a scenario like this, it is important to establish a life of your own. Make friends of your own. Plan lunches and dinners without your mate. Have your own life, but accept the new agreement responsibly. You want him, but not the way you once wanted him. Accept that this arrangement works both ways. He will want to hang out with his own friends, have lunches and dinners also. You can't be angry with him for having a life without you, because this is what you both have chosen. I am grateful to be very happily married, so this scenario would not work with my marriage. But for some couples, this is a way of holding on to all that the two of them have created. It is easier on your grown kids. Your family is whole. And the two of you are no longer frustrated, angry, and bitter. When you do share an evening together or an occasional sexual romp, you can enjoy each other without all the residual resentment that used to ruin your evenings. Who knows? Maybe this way you'll fall in love with each other all over again. Maybe when the two of you rearrange your present life, each of you might notice how cool your partner has become. But don't count on it, or you'll have expectations that could set you up for disappointment. No matter what path you take with your partner, this is your chance to have the life you want. Take responsibility for your life and your relationships and how they have turned out. And if you don't like what you see, then start doing the work necessary to create the life you want. Old is when your friends compliment you on your new alligator shoes and you're barefoot. 21. Making sense of it. In comparing the points of view of women taking natural bioidentical hormones with those of women who are not, it's apparent to me that the ones who are replacing their lost hormones with real hormones are enjoying the best quality of life. Maureen, my sister, went so far as to say that even if taking bioidentical HRT shortened her life, it will have been worth it because of the difference it's made in how much she enjoys each day. Life is better on real hormones. Without them, we start slowly to fade away. At one time, we expected to be like this as we got older, but today it doesn't have to happen. Bioidentical hormone replacement allows you to enjoy a fabulous quality of life, filled with energy and the zest for living. Your health will be better too, because taking bioidentical hormones helps prevent the onset of the diseases of aging. My sister experienced terrible mood swings when she first entered menopause. It was a terrible time for both of us, because neither of us knew what was going on. She went on drug hormones, and her mood got better, but then things started going wrong metabolically. She started gaining weight, and then because of breast cancer, she stopped taking the drug hormones, so her hormone levels zoned out. During the 3 years without hormones, she became a person I didn't recognize. She spoke in a flat voice. Her enthusiasm was gone, and she said things like, "I feel dead." The sister I grew up with, the sister I aspired to be when I was growing up, the sister with the enthusiasm, energy, laughter, and sharp thinking, was gone, replaced by a depressed, unenthusiastic, unhappy person who spoke of things in negative terms. After reading her chapter, you can plainly see that now she has boundless energy, enthusiasm, and a lust for life, all because she has been taking real hormones for 10 years. I am so thrilled to have her back again. One of my husband's dearest friends is also going through the same thing. He was one of the guys my husband used to hang out with in London in the 60s. They partied hard, played around. I'm glad I wasn't in the picture at that time. They were two good-looking guys with the world at their feet. Now, though, the differences between them are startling. While Alan has, of course, become more mature as he has aged, with the friend, you actually see an old man. Alan couldn't be any healthier or happier. He just glows. The difference between the two men is hormones. My husband is on bioidentical HRT, the testosterone patch, and DHEA, and the friend is not. As you will read in chapter 23, Alan cannot say enough about the way he feels on hormones versus the way he felt before them. It has had such a positive effect on our marriage. Between the two of us, we have unbelievable energy and a zest for life. There's so much confusion out there about this time of life and taking hormones. All I can say is, what have you got to lose? If you take real hormones under a doctor's supervision and find balance through blood tests, it's like getting a second chance at life. To go through the second half with the acquired wisdom and perspective and balanced hormones is a pretty wonderful experience. If you add to that mix a true change in your thinking about eating properly to keep your hormones balanced, exercising daily, and getting proper rest, you can change your second half of life to be the best it's ever been. I am asked all the time what I do to look so healthy, and I always explain that I have found the fountain of youth in real hormones. Most people turn off immediately. Everyone has preconceived notions about hormones and aging. There have been so many conflicting stories and flawed, incomplete studies, no wonder everyone is scared and confused. It is difficult to find the right doctor, but after reading this, you are better prepared to ask the right questions. You never know where you'll get your information. I found my doctor through my manicurist. I was complaining to her about my problems, and she mentioned that she had heard of this doctor in Santa Barbara. One little mention that changed my life. This passage of life takes work, but hasn't everything you've struggled for in your life? Getting on track hormonally is worth the effort. The great thing about endocrinology is that you really have to go to the doctor's office only the first time. Since everything is assessed through blood tests, your relationship with your doctor can be maintained mostly by phone. This is a good thing, because after your hormones are balanced, you'll have so much energy, you'll have trouble fitting another appointment into your busy schedule. Part 4. The Male Menopause. Old is when getting a little action means you don't have to take any fiber today. 22. Testosterone and men. So you think you're in this alone? Well, ladies, your men are going through male menopause called andropause. It's real, and men truly suffer in silence. It is not a subject discussed in men's magazines. No man wants to talk about declining testosterone levels because it is so tied up in who they are. Without testosterone, they aren't manly. It's unfortunate that people equate testosterone levels with the ability to have erections. Yes, testosterone levels do indeed affect the quality of erections, but that's the last thing to go. The real issue is loss of general vitality. I noticed this with my husband. His energy was gone. He was wilting like a tulip without water. He'd fall asleep mid-morning, then again after lunch, and then again after dinner. I began to worry about him. We went to our internist in Los Angeles, who is a Western, Eastern, and holistically trained doctor. He has turned many people's health around, including mine, and I have great respect for him as a professional. He is of the new ilk of cutting-edge doctors who use Western medicine as a last resort. When an antibiotic is warranted, as with an infection, he's right there for you. But with a virus, he prefers to use vitamins and supplements to build up the body's immune system so that you can fight the virus on your own. When I'm overworked, he adds to or increases the supplements I take to give me more of a frontline defense. We asked our doctor why Alan was running on empty. He explained that because of our high-stress lifestyle, overwork, environmental pollution, damaged water, and damaged food supplies, including the damage that has been done to the soil that grows our food, it is necessary to supplement with herbs, vitamins, amino acids, and phytonutrients to make up for the poor quality air, food, and water we now ingest. Then we went to see Dr. Schwartzbein. After talking with Alan, she suspected that his hormonal production levels had dropped off. She had Alan take a blood test to review his hormone levels. Well, lo and behold, my husband was almost out of testosterone. No wonder he couldn't stay awake. Testosterone is vitality, and without it, one will not have the energy and zest to get through the day. Dr. Eugene Shippen says in his book, The Testosterone Syndrome, that loss of testosterone is at the core of male menopause, and a key element in female menopause as well. The two sexes have a different experience in midlife menopausal change. In women, there is an explosion of in-your-face symptoms, while in men, very similar symptoms sneak in the back door. Most often, men's symptoms, such as loss of energy, ambition, and sexual drive, are written off as burnout or depression. Often, sexual virility is the last to go, so men don't think this male menopause applies to them. Meanwhile, they're drooping and sleeping the day away as my husband had been. Men feel as long as they can still get it up, everything is okay, and put off going to a doctor. I look at this procrastination at getting help as precious time lost when they could be feeling their best. Because we women are barraged with uncomfortable symptoms, we go on the hunt for relief. Because andropause happens to men over a 10 to 12 year period, they usually chalk it up to natural aging. Male menopause creeps up on them until finally they can't help but notice that their muscles are shrinking, their energy withering, their self-confidence crumbling, and their virility dropping off. The first sign that a man's hormone levels are dropping significantly is a subtle loss of strength and energy. There's also a depressive change in personality noticed by the wife and friends. There's often a loss of athletic ability, dynamic executive capabilities, self-confidence, eagerness, and aggressive energy, combined with a total unawareness of what they were undergoing. We all know men like this, those once high-spirited, energetic men who seem to have given up on life. A lethargy sets in. They're no longer interested in learning anything new, no longer want to join in the fun. According to Dr. Shippen, men enter a gray zone, a time they neither understand nor wish to talk about. Male menopause is one of the most dynamic and significant events man ever experiences. His testosterone levels fall steadily decade by decade. Very few men have testosterone levels that stay at or near youthful heights right into old age. Dr. Shippen says, I have never seen an older male in excellent mental and physical health whose testosterone levels were not well within the normal range, and the healthiest, most vital individuals are always in the high normal ranges. The changes that men are experiencing at this time are consistent with the hormonal depletion of aging. The optimal function of every cell in our bodies requires optimal hormonal input. Once, we all had it, but as our hormone production declines, the result is suboptimal cellular activity. That is the beginning of trouble. It is subtle at first, and usually thought of as natural aging, but long-term hormonal decline leads toward illness, fatigue, malaise, and further aging. Any doctor who looks for hormonal decline will find it in middle-aged women or men. Most of the major hormone systems drop significantly and steadily from year to year and decade to decade. It's one of the most important parts of the steady downward spiral into old age and debility. But now these lost hormones can be replaced in men's and women's bodies through bioidentical natural hormones, which results in rapid improvement in physical function. Dr. Shippen writes, the major controversy among physicians is whether gradual hormonal decline is a normal, healthy part of aging or is a pathologic, disease-like state. According to Dr. Shippen, this controversy sets up a false dichotomy. Hormonal decline is, of course, normal, but so is heart disease. They are also and equally disease states and will, in the end, prove fatal to any human being who allows either one to run its course unhindered. There are many reasons why men, and women too, should be wary of declining levels of testosterone. Testosterone is more than just a sex hormone. It is an anabolic steroid, which means that along with its unique chemical structure, it has the capacity to promote the formation of bone and muscle in the body. It travels to every part of the body. There are receptors for it from your brain to your toes. Testosterone is vitally involved in the making of protein, which in turn forms muscle. Testosterone is key in the formation of bone, and it improves oxygen uptake throughout the body, vitalizing all tissues. It helps control blood sugar, helps regulate cholesterol, helps maintain a powerful immune system. Testosterone appears to help in mental concentration and improves mood. It is also one of the key components in protecting your brain against Alzheimer's disease. According to Dr. Shippen, without testosterone, the muscle, nerve, and vascular systems that a man's sexual organs depend upon grow weak. Testosterone is also one of the most essential guardians of a healthy male heart. Testosterone is a muscle-building hormone, and the heart is the largest muscle in the body. In the human heart, there are more cellular sites for receiving testosterone than in any other muscle of the body. Testosterone is also a stimulator of arterial dilation and increases production of nitric oxide, a natural form of nitroglycerin, the tablets heart patients take to open up the coronary arteries when angina pains arise. The pumping power of the heart decreases when testosterone declines, and angina pains begin when nitric oxide production declines. When testosterone is administered in appropriate doses, most of the major risk factors for heart disease diminish. Dr. Shippen also says, I find it puzzling that testosterone has not been given a prominent role in the treatment of heart disease. When testosterone decreases, cholesterol and triglycerides go up. Coronary artery and major artery dilation diminish. Blood pressure goes up. Insulin levels rise. Abdominal fat increases. Estrogen levels go up. Lipoprotein goes up. Fibrinogen goes up. Human growth hormones decrease and energy and strength decrease, leading to a sedentary lifestyle and decreased physical activity. No other single factor in the male body is associated with more risk factors for heart disease than a lack of testosterone. Testosterone works protectively in men, just as estrogen does in women. Speaking of estrogen, men have to worry about their estrogen levels just as women have to monitor their testosterone levels. What, you ask? Here's the science, according to Dr. Shippen. The male body actually manufactures its own supply of the female hormone, estrogen. It makes it out of its supply of testosterone. An enzyme called aromatase is widely present in the body and converts a certain portion of the male hormone into the female. The human body is expert at such processes, and actually the two hormones are chemically quite similar. This conversation is necessary for the healthy functioning of estrogen-sensitive tissues in a man's body. Estrogen is powerfully beneficial to the male brain. Too little estrogen will neuter a man just as effectively as too little testosterone. The areas of the male brain that control sexual function are plentifully supplied with the aromatase enzyme and thus have no difficulty converting testosterone to estrogen for its special purposes in those specific locations. Estrogen converted by aromatase can actually unlock or displace testosterone at its various cellular receptor sites. Too much estrogen will switch off activities. The body depends upon various on-off switches to regulate the force of its actions. Since testosterone is a powerful stimulant and energizer, estrogen may logically be a complementary off switch to turn down the male libido, as unbridled sexual energy can be totally disruptive to life. Phew! Enough with the science! But here's more. Dr. Shippen says, in older men, estrogens that rise out of their window of normal function become not a counterbalance, but a nearly permanent condition stuck almost always on off. This is when effects on sexuality and a host of other male complaints become active. In many men, high estrogen levels cause a slowdown in testosterone levels. High estrogen levels can alter liver function, lead to zinc deficiency and obesity, and trigger alcohol abuse. High levels also increase aromatase activity. As a man grows older, he produces larger quantities of aromatase, the testosterone converter. Because of this, he converts higher levels of estrogen. Higher levels of estrogen can produce that off switch relative to sexuality. The liver eliminates chemicals, hormones, drugs, and metabolic wastes. Also among its duties is excreting excess estrogen from the body. Because too much estrogen in the male body has negative effects, it's important that the liver work at optimum. Zinc deficiency will adversely affect the male-female hormone ratio. Zinc is also important for normal pituitary function, without which the proper hormonal signals will not be sent to the testicles to stimulate the production of testosterone. Both men and women require individualized quantities of both estrogen and testosterone to activate their sexuality and create all the other health benefits just mentioned. The good news is that now doctors in the know monitor this situation with HRT. As we age, hormonal changes are the single most important transforming factor for men and women. By replacing those hormones as you lose them, you can gain a reprieve from aging. They truly are the fountain of youth. This is what we've all been looking for, the magic potion, the secret elixir, and it's been right under our noses all along. Having the means available to reinstate prime quality of life is an incredible breakthrough in today's medicine. I know that our mothers and our fathers, who poo-pooed this phase of their lives as nothing or hardly noticed, were just minimizing their experiences. The previous generation did not discuss their aches, pains, and complaints. It was partly pride, the "I will suffer in silence" syndrome of that era. Also, there was nothing any doctor could do to give them relief because so little was known about the endocrine system. Now, not only are we beginning to understand a woman's need for hormone replacement and the incredible benefits relative to quality of life and health, but also for the first time, men can find relief for a problem that has been in the closet for so long. If life is not full of the